All right, we have a big show tonight.
We had a big show last week.
Did we?
It was a 2-hour recording.
It was a long one.
That's too easy.
This is the end, beautiful friend. This is the end, my only friend, the end of our dear life.
What's up, Who Dat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and my drunk scale rating right now is a 2. I did have 2 screwdrivers, and I'm now drinking some beer for the show. Thankfully, this season's finally over. And even though it was a rough one, we can take solace in the fact that it ended with a win, which is something playoff teams don't get. And if you think about it, the past couple of years, I don't know when the last time we ended the season with a win was.
Last year?
No.
We lost in Seattle.
We lost in Seattle.
Oh, what? Okay. Like, not regular season, but last game.
Yeah, like, we're done with football. Saints football for...
Yeah, 2009 then, yeah.
Is it really that long?
I mean, yeah, it has to be because we made
2012.
We made the playoffs in 10. Right, that'd be the only time.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you see? It's nice to find. That's the one thing. We can take solace in with a win. But this game was not easy to watch for the first 2.5 quarters. But those of us who are gluttons for punishment or never say die fans were rewarded with a good comeback to help set the tone for next year, hopefully. And since we're recording on Black Monday, there's a lot of stuff to cover in this week's episode, so put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
Probably just about a 0.5 on a second glass of wine. Probably all I'll drink tonight.
All right. Damon.
Hello.
Welcome to the show. Any number to report?
No number tonight.
Oh, damn.
No. You might be on cold medicine. You sound like you got a little cold.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I'm getting over a little, you know, typical this time of year, sinus BS.
Okay, well, that'll put you in a good mood for the show.
Yeah, I'm going to try not to snort my way through the show.
Okay, well, good on you for enduring and playing hurt, like most of the Saints have been. So let's get straight into game recap. And this week we're going to do something a little bit different, something we did a long time ago, see if this works or not. But I'm going to run down a bit of the, I don't want to call it play-by-play, but kind of the chronology of the game. And obviously you guys just interject anytime you feel like interjecting. But let's get started.
P-Rob sucks. That's what I want to interject.
Before we even start.
Corey White is gone.
Yay! Hopefully. But we'll get to that later. Tampa opens the game with a stall drive and a punt pinning the Sins. The Sins.
Yeah, you know what? That's what they were this year, the fucking Sins.
They were sinners. Pinning the Saints back on their own 7. And then the Saints open slow, as is tradition, in 2014 with a 3-and-out. So Tampa starts their next drive at midfield, and the Saints force a field goal after a Cam Jordan sack. That's rare. On the Saints' next drive, they end up with no points, but this was the one with Nick Toon's 24-yard catch. And would this be a drive? Nope, because on the very next play, the offensive line gives up a sack, pushing the Saints back 8 yards. And, of course, 3rd and 18, naturally Breeze throws it 9 yards downfield, only half of what they need, resulting in a punt. This next drive leads us into the second quarter, and the ugly defense comes on the field, letting up 3 third down conversions, the last one being a touchdown, score Tampa 10, Saints 0. So the third drive for the Saints would be the charm, and Breeze spread spread the ball around on a dink and dunk approach, hitting Stills, Meacham, Ingram, and Colston, and finishing up with a Kyrie Robinson touchdown for his birthday. Did you know that yesterday was his birthday?
I did not.
Yeah. Nope. There you go. Tampa score. I think that's probably why Sean Payton gave him the ball on the goal line anyway.
That was a great catch by Meacham. I didn't even realize he was active.
Yeah.
It's like somebody made a fantastic catch. It's like, who is that? All right, then.
Bolton? Tampa ends up scoring a touchdown on their next drive, and that gives the Saints the ball with 1:48 and a half. And that's plenty of time, and of course we're all sitting there like, oh, here's our standard two-minute drill before halftime. At least going to get three out of this. Nope, interception. And this would be the first of three interceptions on three consecutive drives for Breeze. Halftime score was Bucks, 17? Saints, 7?
I thought it was 20. 20-7.
Was it 20-7 by then? Okay. So the Saints get the ball after halftime, and they mount a great drive, only to be ended with, of course, like we just said, Breeze's second interception of the day. Fortunately, Tampa does nothing with it, so the Saints get the ball back. And the next drive, this is the one where Kenny Stills gets that beautiful 44-yard catch. This big, nice, long...
That's what she said.
Of course, it didn't help with anything, because that would be Breeze's third consecutive drive, and I think at that point people started asking, why the fuck is he even playing? Let's not risk him getting hurt. Things like that, you know, the whole... And a lot of people were probably saying at that point, too, let's just go ahead and tank the game so we can get the better draft pick and yada yada, and not let Tampa get their draft pick. But the Saints all of a sudden start to play football. Tampa's next drive, defense holds on a fourth down, which gives the Saints a short field. And so on their next drive, Ingram runs for 18 yards. Breeze throws it to Stills for 16 yards. Breeze hits Robinson for 17 yards. And then a pass interference in the end zone gives the Saints another first down on the one, which we all know that drive ended with an Ingram punching it through for a touchdown. And the Saints, could this be a comeback? At this point, this is the sign of life and a chance, especially after a rare interception by Keenan Lewis, who ran about 40 yards sideways. I really thought, though, there was a point on that return, I thought he might actually break it out and score, but no.
That's all he could do on one gimpy leg.
Yeah. but complimentary football continued as the offense took it to the house with a patented Breeze to Colston touchdown for 36 yards to take the lead with 2 minutes left in the game. And so the best way to end the game and the season would be with a pair of sacks, the first by Cam Jordan, his second of the game, and the second sack by one of the captains of the team, of the defense, and my jersey's namesake, Junior Gallette. Oh, and by the way, that second sack was worth 2 points. So the Saints win 23-20, not covering the pick 'em spread, which you'll find out later in the show. But there's your game recap. Any notes that you guys want to talk about?
I mean, not really for this game. Look, I think all of us, a lot of the Saints fans, I mean, we watched the game. You talked about, you know, going into halftime and coming back from halftime, you know, the three interception. I mean, I can't say I was mad. You know, it was just kind of like, oh, yeah, I expected that. You know what I'm saying? yeah, I mean, look, you know, we had nothing to play for. It was just a game of, you know, pure entertainment.
It's hard to get up for a game that means absolutely nothing.
Right, two bad teams.
Well, it wasn't the shitty game for a reason.
Yeah, it definitely was the shitty game of the week.
Look, I'm glad I got to see at least Breeze hit Colston at least one more time. If he's not going to be back, I don't know what they're going to do, but at least he got to see that one more time.
Yeah.
It was a great play, too. Colston looked fast. That's weird. Yeah. So that was good to see. And look, I know draft picks or whatever, but it's like, oh, get the 8th, 9th pick. Supposed to pick in where we are, which is 13th, but look, we've screwed up plenty of picks. I don't think 9 and 13 is going to matter. I'd rather just win the game. Just win the game. I'm glad they won the game. I don't want to go into off season with a bitterness, a loss. I mean, the season's already bitter enough.
And I'm not worried about the draft pick. I mean, being number 13 versus, like, what would we have been if we'd have lost the game?
8th or 9th, I think.
Okay, I mean, is that really going to make that big of a difference?
I mean, it depends, but look, if we could just hit on the picks they have, then it won't matter.
Right.
It's not that big of a deal. Well, I don't have any faith that we're going to pick somebody at 9 that'll be guaranteed better than what we'd pick at 13.
No, no doubt. I mean, it's
I mean, not everybody's picking offensive linemen, which is hopefully what we'd pick. Damon, you mentioned something about Kenny Vaccaro playing with a grade 2 quad tear. I don't think he played at all yesterday.
No, he did play. Apparently he's having some issues over there. So it was nice. Obviously, they didn't get the records. Breeze didn't get his 5,000. He was just short. Ingram was like 30-something yards short of 1,000.
It's gonna look, like I said, this is the first. If this is really the first time we've ended our season with a win, it ended Saints football for the year with a win since 2009. That's 5 years, man. Look,
but that's not a big deal. You don't want to be. I mean, outside of a Super Bowl, you don't want to be in that spot.
No, I get it. But it's nice to, if you're gonna be in it, it's nice to be in it.
Well, I don't think it wins. I don't think it means that much. I don't think there's such a huge defining win. It's just a win, but I'd rather win than a loss. I don't like watching them lose.
Right. I guess it means more to this year since we only got 7 of them.
That's crazy. Ended with a 5-game losing streak at home and a 4-game winning streak on the road.
Oh, I did want to mention, too, Blaine Facebook status said about Jimmy Graham, and I thought it's worth talking about. I noticed it, too, before he said it on Facebook, which is why I want to talk about it, and I've kind of noticed it all year. What Blaine said was that Jimmy Graham is a boy playing among men, and I kind of agree. Not to say that he isn't tough.
Look,
he isn't tough.
He alligator armed that one pass, but he's playing in hurt.
I know, but he plays hurt every year.
But not this. I think he's really, really hurt.
Jimmy Graham is the same story as the Hornets/Pelicans. You're going to make the excuse every year.
Stop. Just stop. It's 1 year that he's hit a down year, okay? But he was really injured this year, and he still tried to play.
I guess you're right. But I still think that he's scared of something. Like, he's scared of getting popped.
What?
And maybe it's the injury. Maybe you're right. Maybe it's the injury and not him just being scared. Which, I guess you're right. Because when he starts seasons, he's plowing people down.
Well, especially, too, in a game like Tampa. Like you said, it doesn't really mean anything.
Yeah. You're right. All right, well, so good. I'm glad you talked me off the ledge.
Yeah, that's not a smart comment by Blaine.
Okay.
Sorry, Blaine.
One last thing about unnoticed. I find Mark Ingram production, and this is probably just Captain Obvious talking, Mark Ingram production declining since Kyrie Robinson returned. Is it simply that Kyrie's taken carries away?
No, he hasn't. It's because our offensive line has gotten worse. Point to that.
All right. Well,
Kyrie did get some carries in the game Sunday, but
Kyrie got some carries.
He got some carries. He scored a touchdown.
Yeah, happy birthday.
But that was just one game. He really hadn't done much since he's been back, other than this last game. So.
Okay, and just to say, for those of people who want to say that Drew Brees is on the decline and want to ignore the offensive line, look at 2010. Brees threw 33 touchdowns. This year, he threw 33 touchdowns. In 2010, Brees threw 22 interceptions. This year, 17. In 2010, he threw for 4,300 yards. This year, he threw for 4,900 yards. In 2010, it was 64 completion percentage.
Okay.
This year, 69 completion percentage. He had a better year this year than he did in 2010.
You're picking out one season, and look, he's not. The interceptions aren't good, obviously, but he's going to be, you know, just this good over the next 2 or 3 years. Like, you can win a championship with him.
Yeah. Right.
Still at
just tired of people saying, "Oh, Brees is in the decline." He's not in the decline. He's playing the same as he's always played.
It's just right. The line's gotten worse, and everybody just puts it on Brees.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look, 17 interceptions is not good. That
22 is worse.
And I mean, and that's another part of this whole Saints team, and even the era has been our turnover differential has been just ghastly.
Yep. Well, and you look at it too. if, for example, Colston, I know that everything doesn't come down to one play, but it is a game of inches. If Colston doesn't fumble the ball in overtime against the Falcons in game,
somebody else would have fumbled or something would have happened. That's the way the season went. Something else
I know, but yeah, like that fumble kept us out of the playoffs in the long run. Or, you know, if the Lions, if Golden Tate doesn't get that freaky touchdown, we're in the playoffs. I mean,
same thing with the Cleveland game that play at the end. But
or Graham's
pass interference against San Francisco. I mean, you know, it's we were one play away throughout the season of getting in the playoffs.
Right, but we were also further away than – yeah, we could have made the playoffs, but Arizona also made the playoffs, and look at them.
Just throwing that out there.
Look, there were a lot of big plays that really affected the outcome of the season, but there's more to it than that.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's move on to tweets from the Twitter thing. So our first tweet, this one comes from Viva La Waffle. And she asks, can all three of you name five players you unequivocally want back next year and five players you absolutely do not want back? Okay? So
I mean, that includes Breeze. And
mm-hmm. I have Breeze on mine. Obviously, we're starting with the keeper list.
Well, I mean, it's...
I'm keeping Keenan Lewis.
I'm keeping Breeze, Keenan Lewis. I'm keeping Thomas Morstead.
Oh, good one.
Definitely keeping Thomas Morstead.
Okay. Cooks.
Cooks and Stills.
Yeah.
Right?
Stills, yep. He's on my list, too.
Well, that's not enough. Then that leaves out Jimmy Graham. Like, of course, I mean...
Yeah.
Keep Graham, too. Yeah, there's...
Graham was my fifth.
So it's almost like you'd have to exclude...
It's pretty much the offense, and then the one guy on the defense, right?
Well, I mean, look, exclude Breeze and exclude Graham. And exclude Cooks and Stills because they are definites.
Oh, so I can't. All right, so I can't have Breeze, Stills, or Cooks or Graham
or Graham. Right.
Oh shit.
So eliminate those. Then pick five.
All I've got is Keenan Lewis.
Well, because then that way.
All right, I'm keeping Ingram.
Keenan Lewis, Thomas Morstead. I'd probably keep Ingram.
Mm-hmm.
Terron Armstead. We need.
Yeah.
Armstead. He's the only offensive lineman I'm keeping, really.
I mean, so is there anybody else on the defense?
I mean, maybe Lofton.
I know he had a shitty season, but I really would think I'd have to go with Cam Jordan.
Or Gallette.
Well, there's your choice. I'd rather Cam Jordan over Gallette.
Really? Because Gallette showed up this year after even getting a contract.
No.
I mean, relatively speaking.
Right. I mean, I don't know. It's tough choices.
And I have his jersey, so I'm keeping Gallette for that reason.
Well, there you go.
All right. So Damon fell off. Sorry, Viva La Waffle. You're not going to hear his unless he comes back in time. So dropping, obviously.
So we can say whatever we want about Damon right now, right?
Well, he'll listen to it. I am dropping Corey White before.
Well.
Or like if he pulls up into the parking lot, I'm going to send somebody out that's going to be like, no. Just keep no. Turn around. You turn. Head on out. We're not even going to have the conversation. You're out. Corey White's done.
And
a surprising move, Patrick Robinson is not on my list. This is a complete 180 from what I've been yelling about all year. But I started to wonder, what if Patrick Robinson actually is a decent player? It's just the defensive line not getting the pressure. I mean, P-Rob got a few good picks this year.
He played a little better in the second half. I mean, he's... Yeah.
He could be a ball hawk. We don't
know. I mean,
know.
He's still mediocre. It seems like he's mediocre, though. But... I mean, look, the 1 year our defense was good, he was injured all year, so he didn't get to play with the benefit of a good pass rush.
Right. So
maybe it does make a difference. I mean, I don't know. It's almost like we think you've seen enough from him so far.
I've seen enough that says he's not on my five cut list.
He is better than Corey White.
Yeah.
I'll give him that. That's not saying much. He's better than Corey White.
Right. All right. So Corey White's cut for me. Grubbs and Goodwin. Grubbs for financial reasons.
Well, you could. I mean, Grubbs and Evans could be question marks because they both played equally poorly
mm-hmm.
this year. It's just I think we have this attachment to Evans because he's been here since '06. Like we just, you know, he's been an All-Pro. he's been the better of the two players in their career, and just kind of assume he can, maybe he can turn it around, or you just maybe don't want to see him go. But he definitely played terribly this year.
So and that could be because of Goodwin. You know, the guy, Goodwin and Streif.
Goodwin definitely didn't help.
You know?
So Goodwin's will be gone for sure. Anybody I want to see leave? I mean,
John Jenkins? You got to cut somebody from the defensive line. You have
Bill Johnson. Bill Johnson, that's who you cut.
I hate Bill Brasky, but I respect him.
Well, she did say players. She said players.
I know.
Believe me, I had Bill Johnson, and I looked at the tweet, and I was like, damn it.
I mean, Bunkley won't be back, but that'll be financial reasons. And he also got hurt, so, yeah, I mean, he won't be.
No, Grubbs is pulling a big contract too, right?
Oh, yeah. Look, Grubbs is. Evans is. Yeah, they've got big. Even Lofton, Hawthorne, they got good size cap numbers next year.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that I really hate a lot of guys. It's just I don't – like, they're obviously – they're clearly not –
I mean, when she said, because the thing is, like, I could see all of our linebackers minus Lofton are kind of they're just average at best. Like Hawthorne, he's okay. So, but to put him in that absolutely don't want back, no, I think we could do worse. So I can't put Hawthorne on that list. I mean, I absolutely don't want Corey White on this team. I absolutely don't want Ben Grubbs on this team. I don't want Goodwin on this team. And not that I don't like Goodwin, but I think Lelito is a suitable replacement.
Well, we've seen the last 6 weeks what Goodwin can give us.
Right.
So I don't need him, right? I mean, tell you, T-Bob would be the better judge, but even when he was on the show, he, I think, even alluded to Lelito being better in his mind.
Well, I mean, you looked when Lelito started, what, those two games?
Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better come! Somebody!
In place of Goodwin. It seemed that the running game even picked up.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as far as the five that you don't want back, yeah, I mean, my goodness, we need a whole overhaul of the offensive line. Oh, my God. I mean, we just it's such a daunting task.
That is going to be the risk of next year. I mean, you put a bunch of new guys together.
Well you know what? Aaron Kramer ain't doing nothing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, they have to replace at least one, if not both the guards, I think.
Well, and I think Streif. See, that's my... I just saw Streif getting beat all year long, especially in the dome. And I know I repeated it. I mean, it just, man, he barely even stepped in front of his guy.
Was he playing hurt?
I mean, who knows?
He got hurt in some game, but I know he came back.
I wonder if he was banged up and that could explain.
I mean, for me, the guy, like I said, I mean, the easiest is Corey White. Now, I think P. Roblin will be back.
Mm-hmm. We talked a little bit about that.
It's just I just know a lot of these guys are going to be gone for money reasons. Like Bunkley.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I could put Bunkley on that list ahead of John Jenkins, I guess. Okay, next tweet. Or Damon, did you want to give us who you're unequivocally want to keep?
But you can't include Breeze, Cook, Stills, and Graham.
Yeah, you cannot include them.
Probably like that's probably four of his five.
Well, right. I mean, no doubt.
I want to keep them all, but if I had to choose.
Wow. Okay. I mean, I'm trying to think of the starters. I mean, you say Cam Jordan again. I know his this.
Wow. Y'all both said Cam Jordan, huh?
Yeah. This season was an anomaly for him. He'll pick it back up, I believe. You know, Jarris Bird, just because I didn't see him play, so I'm curious to see what he looks like. on offense.
And because we have so much money invested in him.
Oh, right.
Right.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even think about Jay Bird.
Oh, have you not heard? It was my understanding that everyone had heard.
Heard what?
Brian, don't! Oh, well, a bird, bird, bird. A bird, a word, a well, a bird, bird, bird. A bird, a word, a well, a bird, bird, bird. But birds are word of well, a bird, bird, bird. But birds are word of Brian. Don't you know about the bird? Well, Peter's gonna tell you about the bird. Well, a bird, bird. But birds are word of well, a bird. Surfing.
You know, on offense, I'd like Ingram back. You know, I'd like him back, but it doesn't, you know, but if he's not, I'm not, you know.
I think the first 2 years, I would not have had him on that list. But after this year, you know what? He earned a spot in my roster.
Definitely. Definitely.
Which is all you could ask for. I had Gallette on mine. Armstead, Jason throughout there.
Yeah, no, that's right.
Well,
yeah.
He's still mentioning two biggies. Or he's still missing out on two biggies.
Yeah, I know. I'm not going to give him these.
No.
I mean, the Morstead.
Mm-hmm. You know. That's one.
And.
Come on.
It's a no-brainer.
I mean, probably Peyton, the best what? Player on the one on the side defense? Of the ball. Yeah.
The best player on defense, not Jarris Bird.
Yeah, the best player that played this year.
Right.
Oh, Keenan Lewis. Right.
Yeah, there you go.
Right.
Right, right. Yeah, you're right there. Look, and we've said it many a time since it happened. Man, you look, since Jabari Greer went down, we have been a different team. And again, not that Jabari Greer was Deion Sanders and, you know, Darrell Reeves wrapping to one, but without him, we just have nothing on the other side of Lewis. Nothing.
Yeah, he was pretty damn good.
You don't really, right, you're right. You didn't realize it till it was gone, which that also made everybody else better. I mean, that's a.
Right. And you could total. And the drop off, you know, from how bad P. Rob was.
It's like going from a 10 to a 3.
Right. to a negative 3.
All right. So the next tweet comes from Neil. This one's worth just mentioning. Can Tom Benson hire Mike Smith? There's a vacancy in one of the beer stands.
He'd still find a way to screw up your order.
And then the other thing is, it's not necessarily a specific tweet at us, but it was – it's all the talk, and a good kind of segue into our next segment. Is Rob Ryan still going to be here next year?
I hope so. I don't want to see him get fired.
No, I definitely think he deserves another year. What you were, you know, what you had said about scheme a while ago, it seems to me, and I don't know, that we were definitely at the beginning of the year running a different scheme than we had last year. You know,
five safeties.
Right. Well, you know, I mean, Lewis, well, not Lewis, Vaccaro was asked to do different things. And it just, to me, it felt like a different, you know, a different scheme. And by the time they either figured it out or switched it back or tweaked it, by that time, injuries had come up, you know, to Lewis and Bush and all that. And then the defense was on a slippery downhill slope. So I hope they give Ryan another year.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, there's some, obviously, assistants I don't think should be brought back, but I think, you know, I think Ryan should keep the job. I don't think it all goes on him.
Isn't our defensive
coach
gone?
Supposed to be going to Vanderbilt, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, they haven't acknowledged it, but word leaked out.
And, you know, Dennis Allen is now available.
Yeah, but I don't think he'll settle for a defensive backs position.
After the way the Raiders play, he might have to.
All right. Well, before we get too far into it, then let's officially bring in the segment headlines.
Hello, I'm Kent Brockman, and this is Eye on Springfield.
So this one is we're going to restrict it to Saints headlines, as is tradition. So something we talked a little bit earlier about, Saints have the 13th pick in the 2015 draft. And anybody do any mock drafts?
Oh, Damon, you've surely done one already, right? Come on.
But no, you just did mention that our secondary coach, Wes McGriff, is heading to Vandy as the defensive coordinator. And you talked about Dennis Allen.
So, there you go.
There's that.
Right. So, Dave, your headline.
The only way Dennis Allen comes here is if we fire Rob Ryan and we would maybe bring him on as a defensive coordinator.
I mean, if you're talking about coaches coming back, I would rather see Cromer come back as the offensive line coach than I think that's more realistic than
– Even with all the shit that happened in Chicago with him?
Yeah, he was an offensive – he's not
No, but like leaking the story about Cutler to the media.
Well, Cutler sucks.
Well, he does, but
right. And the Bears screwed up by giving him $120 million.
Right.
Oh, yeah, that they did.
He ain't gonna say that shit about Breeze.
Right. I mean, right. Cutler is an anchor on the Chicago Bear franchise, and whatever coach takes the job, you know, whoever they can find. I don't know. Cromer just pointed that out. I mean,
it is interesting that Cromer would. And then, you know, when he did the interim head coach here stint, he sucked ass there.
Right. Well, he's obviously not head coach or even coordinator material. He's
right.
You know,
he knows that he knows how to coach that position. So come back and do that.
We'll see.
I would like to see that.
Getting the band back together.
That's right.
Rallying the troops. One last go.
Is Jerry Jones doing this?
I don't know.
I don't do this for the money. It's the dancing. It's always been the dancing. Oh, yeah! Oh, ho, ho! Yeah! Oh, ho, ho! All right!
All right, and the next headline is the Saints' 2015 opponents have been announced. Obviously, we're playing Atlanta, Carolina, Tampa. Dallas, the Giants, the Eagles and the Redskins, so that's the NFC East, right? We're playing the AFC South. Yeah, South.
We get Jacksonville at home.
And the Titans at home.
We got the two shitty teams at home when we get Houston and Indy on the road.
Good. And then the Lions and the Cardinals are going to be our flex teams. That's interesting.
Not bad.
I think, all right, so yeah, your home games are the Cowboys, the Giants, the Jags, Titans. And then the Eagles and the Redskins are away, and the Cardinals away. That's a tough road schedule.
We don't know how all these teams are going to be next year.
Right. I mean, you know, come on, dude. We're a road team now. Yeah. And kind of to get off of the subject. Look, we're as much of the road team now as we were a home dominant team. Couldn't win on the road last year. It has nothing to do with anything. You know, it just happened that way.
I agree, although I do think when people talk about it, it gets in their heads a little bit. I think it's a thing of the past, though. But I think for a little while there, I think
it could have gotten, year, I mean, you know.
End of I'll last go, year, it got to their heads.
I'll go along with, I mean, yes. If I kept, telling Jeff how pretty he was, you know, he might believe it and not realize, you know, he's an ugly fucking dog. I mean, you know, he might believe it. You know.
Exactly.
Right. But you know.
I mean, the team themselves got Popeye's chicken on the plane.
Right.
You can't tell me they didn't buy into it.
Right. No doubt. No, I mean, you know.
But, yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward. I'm happy that it's the Jags and Titans coming. I mean, as long as the Jags continue their losing tradition.
They're going to be like our Superdome slump busters.
Slump busters. Those would be easy tickets to come by as well.
Oh, absolutely.
So, I mean, if we are talking about going to an away game like we do and then not actually do each year.
I
would actually go to a Redskins game.
I was looking at the Redskins game.
It's all live and it's all magical. It's the Washington Redskins Go F*** Yourself Holiday Special.
Now we're talking.
Yeah, I just want to go to Washington, D.C. and go to all the stadiums and stuff.
Goodness.
Well, that's I've got a buddy who lives up there.
Scott lives there, huh?
Yeah, Scott lives up there and Renee wants to go to D.C., so I was kind of eyeing that game. But, man, we could easily do a drive to Houston.
Well, exactly. The Houston one, to me, is just a slam dunk because it's very – all you have to do is buy the tickets.
And so we're going to jump into, I think, the part that we've all been looking forward to talking about is the NFL reach around. And And yeah, lots of news coming out today. Black Monday, the biggest, most exciting headline is, actually it's bittersweet, Atlanta firing Mike Smith.
Yeah, I'm kind of sad.
Yeah.
You want him to stick around.
You do.
Well, I'm sad that he finally swept Sean Payton.
And then he gets fired.
Right, you know,
that is good. That's a good thing, though, that he got fired after he sweeps the Saints.
All right. Maybe he learned something and they let him go, huh?
Yeah, fine. He figured us out, and now they get rid of him. Typical Falcons.
Yeah, like you said, bittersweet. He's a moron, and he had one successful season against the Saints. I don't think our tech job.
We did beat them in the standings.
Yeah, right there. They got a better draft pick than we do. I mean, they just got destroyed, 34-3.
Yeah, they were.
They even let Roman Harper get a pick six.
Embarrassing. But I think the Atlanta Falcon organization had tweeted out something to the effect of, you know, thank Mike Smith for all of his. Everything he's done, he's the most successful coach in Atlanta's 49-year history. And I just like, you know.
Did you hear what he said at the press conference today?
I suck and Sean Payton is a better coach than me?
No, Arthur Blank. He didn't say everything about their last, you know, him and Mike Smith's final conversation, but they both ended up saying, like, I love
suck
you
and Tom Benton's a better owner than me?
So he just said the last thing each of them said to each other was, I love you.
Oh, goodness.
Poor Falcons. Old Smitty. Pour one out for old Smitty.
Count Chocula and delusional and just... Stop me if y'all heard it before.
No. Count Chocula?
What?
Yeah. You don't think Arthur Blank looked like Count Chocula?
Oh, okay. I'm thinking Mike Smith, but yeah, I see that.
Oh.
Yeah, you know, Arthur Blank looked like Count Chocula.
Never noticed.
You never noticed that?
I knew he looked like something, but...
Yeah,
he's not like Whiplash.
Sorry,
but it looked like a 20s billionaire or something, 1920s billionaire.
Like a Sneaky's cartoon villain.
Yes.
You know, twirling his little mustache.
Dear friends, today is the day the clown cried. And he cries not for the passing of one man, but for the death of a dream. The dream that he would someday taste the ultimate victory over his hated enemy. But those dreams were dashed by the weaselly little gunsel sitting there in our midst. How I agonized over the perfect way to thank him for that. The cowardly, insignificant Garneth, who probably got lucky when Batman slipped on the slime trail this loser left behind him. This mound of diseased hyena filth, who's not fit to lick the dirt from my spats! But I digress. The time for sorrow has passed. It's time to look ahead to a future filled with smiles. And I'll be smiling again.
But I've heard people talk about Rex Ryan.
Yeah, I'd rather Rex not go to Atlanta. I don't want to see him.
Yeah.
Really? Because he
fucked
the Jets up.
I think he's a good coach.
Really?
But
I think the entire Jets organization is screwed up. But look, he took Mark Sanchez to two conference championship games.
But they backed in to the
playoffs. What do you mean? They beat good teams.
They backed into the playoffs both times they went.
They made it to the conference title game twice.
They backed Mark into the playoffs. They backed into the playoffs both times. One time, the Colts had to lose, and they rested everybody in week 17.
Well, it happened.
You know, but I mean, I would not call that a good coach. You know, I mean, it was a team. He was a team to those.
Oh, sorry, two consecutive conference title games isn't a good coach. Okay, two
9-7.
Conference title games. I'd take Rex. Who would you take over Rex Ryan though? Mark Trussman.
Well, I mean, I would probably look at, you know, at the coordinator position than a retread, you know.
Mm-hmm. I just hope he doesn't go to Atlanta. I don't want to see him in our division. going anywhere else other than Atlanta.
I'd have no problem with him in Atlanta. Again, I think Bill Belichick and the Patriots didn't have a problem. But they haven't won a Super Bowl in 10 years. So.
And that would be really – you want to talk about national TV games. Rob Ryan versus Rex Ryan.
Well, assuming Rob's still here.
Right.
Assuming he's Rob's still here.
What if Rob Ryan goes to Atlanta?
Whew, man.
And I hope he produces what he did this year.
I do not see that happening. At least not as a head. At least not as a
D coordinator.
At least not as a head coach. I'm talking.
Oh
about.
No, he's.
Oh no,
I think
no.
Anybody's gonna look at him.
Oh no, fuck it. Okay, the New York Jets. Okay, now their first year they were 9-7. Lost the Colts to the AFC Championship game.
Still made it to the AFC Championship game. That means two playoff wins on the
road. Now, the second year, I take that, but the second year they did well. They had a very good team. They were 11-5. 11-5 their second year.
AFC Championship game?
AFC Championship game. Now, neither time did they win the AFC East. Both times they finished second.
Okay. So that means they had the
Patriots. I mean, they're the greatest football team franchise.
No, not necessarily. Not necessarily because they haven't won a Super Bowl in 10 years. Fuck the Patriots.
Live that down.
No shit, stupid. No.
Good. I hope to God that fucker doesn't win another title.
Oh my God, if they go this year.
Then they went 8-8, 6-10, 8-8, 4-12.
Because Sanchez was his quarterback. His crappy GM.
Hold on.
Sanchez goes to, where did he go this year? Cleveland? No.
Philadelphia,
and played well. And
He was okay for a while, but then the old Sanchez reared his head.
The dirty Sanchez.
It's still Mark Sanchez.
You know.
I think he's a good coach.
All right. I think
he's a good defensive coordinator.
I think if he landed in Atlanta, it's better than Harbaugh landing in Atlanta, which of course we know is not going
to happen. Because Harbaugh is a better coach. But you don't have to worry about Harbaugh. He's going back to college.
Couldn't handle the NFL.
I know that Falcons have asked permission to speak to like the Broncos offensive coordinator, the Pats offensive coordinator, Josh McDaniels. So
I hope they Josh McDaniels would strike me as a good head coach. Didn't he have a
– He already failed once.
Yeah, he already failed, but he was young. He was – God, how old was he when he gave him that job?
He was in his 30s, I'm sure.
He's our age. He's my age. He's 36.
Oh, jeez.
Okay, then no, Jason. He was, he was 30, 29. He was super young.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, he was the Tebow. He drafted Tebow. So what was that, 2009?
He was in his 30s.
Yeah.
Okay.
He was in his, 30, 31, 32.
Right. He was young. I mean, I guess, Look, Bill Belichick's first go around in Cleveland didn't work out very well, but
it all goes back to Belichick, doesn't it?
Actually, hold on. Belichick was successful in Cleveland, and then something happened, right? That's when they uprooted Cleveland and took him to Baltimore. They were good with Bernie Kosar. Cleveland was playoff.
Yeah, but it wasn't that far back. It was with
No. He wasn't Kosar. He was the late 90s. Kosar was the late 80s.
Yeah, that's okay.
So maybe Belichick was.
I mean, I don't know.
Kosar was there.
We'll see who they get, but they won't be as fun as old Smitty.
No, and exactly, that's the problem. They won't be as fun as Smitty throwing his helmet and headset and getting red faced and about to die and stuff like that.
Socks and sandals.
Right.
Well, they did keep old Dimitroff, so let's hope.
That's not gonna. Not necessarily permanent.
Well, we'll see.
I heard rumor that right. is oh, still oh, nice.
Where did you hear that from?
Oh, from Twitter.
Oh, okay.
Why?
All right. I'm just curious.
Oh, that's reliable.
All right.
No, I heard it on the NFL Network today.
Oh, even better.
La Canfora, I think it was.
Jason, they made a good point about that, saying that if you fired Smitty, then you thought Dimitroff did a good job and had the correct players there, that Smitty undercoached them.
Well, that's what Atlanta is trying to sell. They're trying to say we are the best job available. So like, you know, whoever's the best coach should want to come here.
Well, that's what they all want to do. Obviously,
right.
Oakland can't, but
I'll give Atlanta the fact that in a quarterback driven league, all the teams with available coaching position, Matt Ryan is the best out there.
I'll give you that.
You know, come on. The man.
I think,
you know,
San Fran is probably another possible.
Yeah.
I'm not saying necessarily Kaepernick, but I think team wise and like San Fran's
good defense.
GM or president said, he's like, we're not rebuilding. We're in reloading phase. So that's,
I don't know. But how good can their front office situation going to be if they just part with Harbaugh like that? I think that's a huge mistake they're making.
I agree. From what I heard on NFL Network today was that this was more Harbaugh, quote unquote, lost the team and lost everything when last year, when there was the whole rumor that he was going to Texas and he didn't really handle that well. And this year it was just kind of like a extension of whatever the fallout from that was.
Yeah. I mean, I don't personally buy that he lost a team, at least, you know, watching his interaction with his players.
Yeah.
In my opinion. I mean, what we all heard, and they scooted around in the press conference today, that there was a difference of opinion, I guess, with, you know, Jed York and
What is the difference of opinion? Harbaugh says
He wanted more control, and they didn't want to give it to him.
So his solution is to go to Michigan.
Well,
he can have all the control.
Right. Plus
$8 million a year. And freaking job security. I mean,
right. And again, it's so much easier in college. I mean, I think from a standpoint of a head coach, it's a lot easier dealing with college kids than multi-millionaire kids.
Plus, too, I mean, if you can recruit well enough, now that's where all the work is, but if you recruit enough, you have a distinct advantage against your opponent.
Right, and I think
you're just better than they are.
And I think Harbaugh will be able to do that, and he's proven it. You know,
he's going to make Michigan contenders again.
That would be nice. It really would be. You know.
Yeah, stay there. So our next NFL reach around topic is.
you want to talk about all the other coaches that got fired, or does it matter?
I mean, so we talked about Mike Smith. We talked about Harbaugh. We talked about Rex Ryan. The only one I know of, other than that, is Mark Trestman.
Trestman for Chicago and the GM. They both got fired.
Right, and Cromer.
Yeah, everybody.
I mean, the Bears cleaned house.
I mean, they had to. They're saddled with that Cutler contract that they can't trade. Like, it's almost impossible to.
They are so done.
They could trade him, but they can't. You can't just release him. Like, it's going to kill him.
How long have they stuck with him?
Well, they just signed it last year. I think I'm sure it's something they can cut him maybe 17 or 18, but in 16, they can't. So they were stuck with him for a year unless they can trade him.
We just said that Atlanta, you know, is probably the best job out there based on quarterback. Mm-hmm. Chicago has to be the worst, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, because you're saddled with Cutler.
I don't know. What do the Jets have?
Well, they have Geno Smith. Maybe he sucks, but you're not stuck with him.
No.
He's on that rookie contract, which nowadays, since they're, you know, slotted.
But Cutler has won before.
Yeah, but barely. I mean,
Jeff, you know what? I used to run an 8-minute mile. Okay.
No, you didn't.
But yeah, no, I've run an 8-minute mile before. You know, long, long, long time ago. You know.
Yeah.
Used to be, a man had to go to the store to buy himself a pitcher of milk. Yeah, but men got lazy. They wanted that milk delivered right to the door. Only problem was the guy delivering that milk ended up f***ing your wife.
So you're saying Cutler's old and moldy?
Yeah, Cutler stinks, and he's getting paid like a top 5 quarterback, which he obviously isn't. Like they are, they're saddled with that.
Who are the ads that came up with that one?
The guy's looking for a job right now.
Right. The two guys that got fired today. Right.
Right. I mean, that's just, and they had the decision, and they gave him that last year. Just gave him this big extension. That's insane.
And then Cromer left to go there.
Oh, man.
Cromer was like, yeah, all right, I'm with that.
Well, he left before last year, but But still, I mean, he.
But no, right, but yeah,
you know, old Bushrod went up and got the money. But yeah, just Cutler will sink your friend. I mean, it's amazing.
He'll cut you.
And look, to all you people bitching about Drew Brees and wanting him out of here and him being done, just take a look at Chicago and Jay Cutler.
Right. Right. Take a look at most teams in the NFL.
Yeah, right, right. Two-thirds of teams in the NFL. Go look at those.
I will take an aging Drew Brees over Jake Locker.
Of course.
Matt Schaub.
Right. I'll take him over Matt Ryan.
I'll take him over Kaepernick.
Look, Drew Brees had a down year. He was 48 yards from 5,000 yards. Okay. Jay Cutler. If they would have cut him this year, they would have had $24 million of dead space.
Oof.
Dead money. Okay? All right. Let's go to 2015. Jay Cutler's base salary is $15 million. His cap number is 16.5, and they'll only have $3 million worth of dead money if they cut him next year. It really isn't that terrible.
They really are stuck with him for 2015.
But for some reason, I thought it was more, unless it's just – I don't know.
If they cut him any time after next year, they save, like in 2016, they save $14 million.
Well, yeah, that's when
– Does Drew Brees restructure this offseason?
You'd like to think so, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he will. He will, and he has to. I mean –
Dude, it's the formula.
Right.
Well, $20 million over the cap.
Right. I mean,
if he wants to play in New Orleans for another 3-4 years and see what happens, then yeah, that's what he'll do.
I mean, you all heard what Brady did today, right?
He restructured his deal again, but it's like a weird leak. It has no effect on the salary cap. Like, it shifted. They're not it's like, oh, Brady clears $24 million. They're not saving $24 million to spend next year on the cap. He's just shifting some of his money to get paid in future years, so it affects their cash flow, so they have more operating cash to pay people. It's like a misleading article. It's
right.
Not.
And look, and even last year when Brady, did his thing and saved them cap room. Look,
you know what
And if Brees does it, look, now it's in the player's benefit. He's going to get more money up front. That's what these things do. I mean, you know. He'll get more money. It's not like the player is actually giving up cash.
Well, but what it is the player is doing what he can do to help the organization out.
Right, and Brees will do it. I have no.
You sure? I mean, the difference between the two of them is Brady's married to a chick who's worth $300 million. It's very easy to just forgo your pathetic little $20 million when your wife
They got prenups.
Well, but again, whatever, you know, whenever they, finagle the cap, it's not like Drew is getting any less money.
Oh, no. They'll convert to signing, they'll give him a signing bonus, and then they'll stretch it out. You know, they'll make it work. And, right. He'll get more now.
So they'll get more now, which is always,
it's always good. Yeah. Pay me now.
Right. Pay me now. So that's why I have no doubt he'll do it.
Well,
because these things usually benefit the player.
Well, it's win-win.
More money now.
He signs the long-term deal, which was front-loaded then, right? And then you restructure again to get more of your money again front-loaded.
Right, front-loaded again.
So that it's always the whole do it before you get hurt. Do it before
and realistically, if he wants to win another Super Bowl, it's what he has to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have to have enough money to spend elsewhere to be as competitive as possible while he's still playing.
On offensive linemen.
And I had read something a couple of, I think last week, saying that they can do something with Junior Gallette's deal that would free up a large chunk of money.
That would help, yeah. Let's see if he's a team player.
Literally free up $10 million.
Well, there's going to be a few guys. You got the two guards, you got Colston. I mean,
if he wants to stay, he's going to have to.
Yeah.
I want to see him back. I really do. But $9 million, that's going
to
be hard to do.
Yeah, Colston has to retire, is saying. I mean, like the announcers were saying during the game yesterday, that's a Brees and Colston. I mean, that's like Young and Rice or Montana and Rice.
Right, yeah. They passed Peyton and Reggie Wayne, I think.
Yeah, Peyton and Marvin Harrison.
Yeah, Marvin Harrison. Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's why I enjoyed that last touchdown of the game so much.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's not the last one we ever see, but if it was.
Yeah, I don't.
It was beautiful.
Yeah. I don't think it is.
I don't think so. Either.
Colston has to retire a Saint.
Next year, Marcus Colston's cap number is $10.5 million.
He's not worth that much anymore.
No, God bless him. No, he's not. Look, our top three cap eaters are Drew Brees at $27.4 million, Jimmy Graham at 12, which I don't think will change, and Marcus Colston at 10.5. I don't think they'll do anything to Jimmy, but Colston you can definitely take. And Ben Grubbs at 10.3.
Yeah, cut him.
And Jari Evans at 10.2.
Like I said, you might have to cut them both. I mean, one option would be to trade
if you
down.
Cut them both, you don't have to play with Colston's.
Well, but you probably should still anyway. I mean,
yeah, but so they're not going to cut them until they restructure Colston's. They need.
I mean, I don't know what kind of order they're going to do.
Drew Brees is $26 million. Next year, Junior Gallette's number is $15.5 million.
Ooh, wow.
Jari Evans is 11. Jimmy Graham is 11.
What about Bird? Bird's jumped up, right?
Bird's is 10.
Okay.
And Marcus Colston is 9.7, which is still. And Ben Grubbs is 9.6. Yeah, but Lofton is 9. I mean, those guys just.
A lot of restructures.
Well, they're just not worth it. Right. They're not, you know, Ben Grubbs is not playing at a $9 million level. Jarius, I don't know about Jarius.
Maybe that's the story of the season, is we got a bunch of fat, rich cats.
Right. Jari Evans isn't playing at $11 million, and Junior Gallette sure the hell ain't playing at $15 million.
Right. That's a lot of work for old Magic Mickey to do in the offseason. That's why he shouldn't have any kind of job with the Pelicans.
That's right. All right. Next.
Jab it in there. Go ahead. Sorry. I'm excited. I snuck that one in there. I like it.
Moving along. Pick'ems.
It's time to play the game. Time to play the game. It's all about the game and how you play it.
Final week of the regular season. I happen to have all the two sheets with all the pick'ems for the year on them right in front of me. So it's very interesting how this season has played out.
Not particularly, Jason. Not. just tell us what the final score is. We don't want to hear your great fucking comeback, okay? No, it's boring, okay?
Well, it's better than a lot of what we saw.
Well, come on with your boring.
Sounds like a sore loser over there.
Right.
Just say the fuck what the fucking records are and let's move on to Piggy King.
All right. So, moving on, it was another strong week overall performance. Nobody was, everybody was over 500, which is good. Damon, you and Jeff both finished 3-2. Damon, you had Kansas City, whereas Jeff picked San Diego. However, Damon picked Atlanta, who got shat on. And we all had the Saints, and we all lost because they did not cover the 3.5-point spread.
Neil was the only one that took Tampa in there. Extended version.
Okay. Best of both worlds, right? Mm-hmm. So Damon actually climbed up to 500. Damon is now 41-41 on the season. Now Jeff sits at 45-37, so that's 4 games ahead of Damon. And I went 4-1 this past week, only losing the Saints. So I am now at 46-36. I'm a game ahead of Jeff.
Jason must be getting some kind of pick'em's help these last few weeks.
No, not really.
He subscribed to something. Some Vegas odds makers thing.
Just know when to get hot at the right time, that's all. All
right.
So...
And the extended version, nothing changes. Alex is still in first place, but he still can be taken if he loses a lot and Neil wins a lot. Or actually, Jason, you could take him. I could take him. So Alex is still fair game.
Yeah, I just got to keep up my hot streak. That's all.
Damon, you cannot take him. So.
Right. You can offer him a shot of Ramchata if you want, but that's about it.
That's right.
So... All right, NFL Wild Card Weekend. 2 games Saturday, 2 games Sunday. Our first game is probably the worst game of the weekend. The Arizona Cardinals at the NFC South champion Carolina Panthers. Arizona really limping into the finish line. It looks like they're going to have Ryan Lindley this week. The Carolina, it's crazy. They've actually played pretty well over the last handful of weeks. I mean, obviously won the division, but went into Atlanta and just killed them. This game is in Carolina. They're hosting the Cardinals, and Carolina's favored by 5.5.
I mean, it's not saying much that Carolina fucked up the Falcons because the Falcons suck. What I'm surprised is Carolina, didn't they start the season with a pretty shitty defense, but they've actually been playing pretty solid defense lately?
Their whole season started very shittily, and they've...
He's gonna shit when he realizes it's shit. Who got the lighter?
The defense has played better, and the offensive line has played better. They're definitely playing their best football of the year.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it may very well be possible. I mean, they beat Arizona straight. Now, I was happy that they beat Atlanta because, A, like I said earlier, we are now finishing the season ahead of Atlanta. So even though they swept us, we're still beat you in the rankings.
Right, but if Atlanta wins and then they beat Arizona, Smitty could still have a job next year.
But Carolina won. They're going to receive all the hatred from all the people who think that
Who cares?
South should be there.
Who cares?
Yeah.
That's a stupid point. That's a stupid point. It doesn't matter. I don't care if the media hates the Saints for making the playoffs.
I get to soon not make the playoff at 7-9 or whatever they are. The only thing that disappoints me with the Panthers making it is that they're the first NFC South team to
repeat. Yeah, that kind of stings a little bit.
Stings the nostrils.
So anyway, Carolina at home, giving up 5.5. I'm going to take Carolina, giving up the points. Ryan Lindley going in on the road in the playoffs, I just can't. I mean, the spread would have to be like 10 for me to even consider Arizona.
Yeah, I agree. Which is going to be ironic because everybody's going to put their hatred towards Carolina saying you don't deserve to be here and they're actually going to win the game.
Only you are going to put your hatred toward them not wanting to be there.
That's because I want to be there.
Well, I do too, but...
Damon?
I'll take Arizona.
Oh! Hey, in last place, he has to, like, almost go opposite of...
That's right.
Yeah. Would be interesting if Damon makes a charge this week and pulls up right even. All right, our next game, Sunday night game, a divisional game. The Baltimore Ravens at the Pittsburgh Steelers. Baltimore coming from behind to beat Cleveland this week to secure that last spot. Pittsburgh winning again, although losing Le'Veon Bell. And, like, the injury is pretty severe, but it's only Monday. It's way too early to know what's going to happen. So, I mean, like, he could play. We just don't know. But Pittsburgh beat Cincinnati this past week. This game is in Pittsburgh. They're the 3 seed, and they are favored by 3 points.
Yeah, look, I mean, Pittsburgh's been one of those teams kind of up and down during the year. Didn't know what
they did lose to the Saints.
You know, the sad thing about that division is, and we'll get to it, we'll talk about it, but Cincinnati led that division every week but 3. Baltimore led for 1 week, Cleveland led for 1 week. And Pittsburgh led for 1 week, week 17.
I mean, look, that division got 3 teams in. Yeah. Now, granted, they all benefited from playing the NFC South this year.
No doubt.
So, I mean, that was kind of a bonus.
No doubt.
Calm down.
But Pittsburgh's favored by 3 at home against our division rival. I'll take Baltimore.
Okay. You say up and down, but Pittsburgh is actually on a 4-game winning streak.
Yeah, no.
So the question is, I think Pittsburgh wins this game. It's a home playoff game. You take the home team. I mean, Pittsburgh's Jason's team to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm picking Pittsburgh. I think Damon took Baltimore because he knew we were both going to take Pittsburgh.
In reality. Now, if Le'Veon Bell does not play, can I change my pick to Baltimore?
No, you can't. You got to lock it in now.
All right.
All right, moving on to Sunday. Another aforementioned AFC North team, the Cincinnati Bengals, the 5 seed, going into Indianapolis to face the 4th seed in Indianapolis Colts. Cincinnati, of course, losing last week. Indianapolis has had nothing to play for the last maybe 2 weeks. I mean, they clinched the division a couple of weeks ago. I got blown out by Dallas and, you know, rested all their starters this week. This game is in Indianapolis. They are the 4 seed, and they are favored by 4 points. I mean, I got to assume Damon's going to go with his Indianapolis Lux, right?
I'm going to go with the Lux, yeah. I think they'll – and Cincinnati.
Cincinnati does tend to shit the bed in the playoffs. Andy Dalton's
I believe the last time they won a playoff game was 1991.
Get the fuck out of here.
Andy Dalton's winless in the playoffs.
Yeah, 1991 was the last time the Cincinnati Bengals won a playoff game.
Their last postseason win was 1990 in the wild card.
Right.
They beat the Houston Oilers in the wild card in 1990. That's their last playoff.
The 1990 season, but the game took place in 1991.
Okay. So Andy Dalton's lost the last three. They also lost in the wild card in 2009 and in 2005. Those were probably both Carson Palmer.
Right. Holy shit. I mean,
1990 since the Bengals last.
So Marvin Lewis has not.
Have never won, right.
Wow. He's the Jim Mora of the 21st century.
Holy
shit. He hasn't had his meltdown yet.
1990.
Playoffs!
Wow. That is.
It kind of makes me want to pick Cincinnati. I mean, how much longer can that last?
I don't know. I don't care what you do. I am going to take Cincinnati.
You're going to take Cincinnati.
Indianapolis is the Lux and nobody else.
Yeah.
I am going to also take Cincinnati for three reasons. One, to stay with Jason. Two, because even if Indy wins, it's going to be by three, not four. And the third reason, I don't know, I just said three because things sound better coming in three.
Because you're scared to go down another game on me.
Oh, no, that was one. And I said to keep up with Jason. Yes, absolutely.
All right, and now our final game, Sunday late game. The 6 seed Detroit Lions. I mean, not shellacked, but losing to Green Bay. Continuing that winless streak at Green Bay. Against the 3 seed Dallas Cowboys. Dallas wins again this week. They are on a roll. Their best season in a long time. Marco Murray appears to be playing through his hand injury. I'm sure all the people in Alexandria are loving football season right around now, right? Got all your Cowboys watch parties.
It's like Mardi Gras.
This game, kicking a player in Green Bay. Now he's going to peel it. So, and Dallas is favored by 7 points in Jerry World.
Who does the stomping right before the playoffs?
Yeah. Look, a quick note on that. I was watching the game when it happened, and they made such a big controversy out of it. If you watch the play, you really have to. You have to guess at his intent. You know. Because he wasn't, it's not like what a week ago there was, 2 weeks ago there was another Detroit defensive tackle who stepped on the guy's, who jumped on a guy's ankle, which was clearly deliberate. This one with Sue, I think his past history is being used against him.
But isn't it coincidence that it's him?
Well, right, you know, and it's, you know, Aaron Rodgers, you know, I think it's a little bullshit. I think a lot of, almost any other player, I don't think this happens.
How often do players, does this happen?
I don't know, but again, how often do they focus on it unless it's Golden Boy Aaron Rodgers, you know?
Right, and Bad Boy Sue.
And Bad Boy Dominican Sue, right. Note here, the last time Detroit won a playoff game
was in 1991.
Yes, against the Dallas Cowboys in the divisional round.
Sunday storyline.
Get the fuck out of here.
I'll go first since I haven't gone first, and okay. To be fair, I will take Dallas in this one begrudgingly. I got to take the home team, and they have an offensive line, folks.
Now, remember, Dallas is, you know, they're undefeated on the road. Their only loss is coming at home.
That matters.
I'm just saying. But, like you, I'm going to take the boys.
So, man, I'm tempted to take Detroit. But I heard a stat today that Matthew Stafford is like 0-15 or 0-16 against winning teams on the road.
Get the fuck out of here.
In his career. Now, look, it's still 7 points, but, I mean, he's just – Matt Stafford is the definition of mediocre, really. He's got all this talent in the world. They haven't – I mean, he's put up some decent stats, but, man, can't win big games, can't be good teams. So I'm going to stick with Dallas, and there will be no separation between Jeff and I this week.
Are we riding – every single game together? Damn.
Well, yeah, I thought you'd take Indianapolis. I thought that was where I'd catch up the game.
No, actually, if anything, we might separate on Baltimore-Pittsburgh. But
well, you know Pittsburgh's my Super Bowl pick.
We'll have to separate next week. Now, our next segment would usually be Saints Preview. But that's not happening. So, yeah, final thoughts. Jason.
Final thoughts. Interesting. Some of the, I guess we didn't talk about this earlier, and we've got a whole off season. I'm sure more stuff will come out, but it was, you know, they had their press conferences. Rob Ryan didn't get fired, but then words leaking out that some players were late for flights and team meetings, which is just
this year.
Yeah, this year. You know, like you said, once the season's over, this stuff kind of comes out. But look, they've got a lot of work to do, obviously, to get back to where they need to be. And I'm ready to move into 2015, because 2014 was a bad year of football.
If you go to NewOrleansSaints.com, you can listen to the interview of Sean Payton's final press conference of the year. Now, Jason, what he did say about the fines and everything, he said that there is a board or some sort of paper where they keep these fines listed so they can kind of see where...
Oh, you mean like a bounty roll?
Where it's at. And he said that there was, in his opinion, there was no significant increase in the fines, you know. So was he not fining people? Is that what he's saying? I don't know. I mean, but, you know, but again, if you go and listen to that, his final press conference, look, at a Saints fan, it made me feel good. The man's in charge. The man has a plan. The man isn't,
he's not Jim Harbaugh.
I was gonna say Jim Moore. God bless him. I loved him, but who definitely would not address some problems. You know, at least problems I saw as a fan. You know, things I would like to have seen change at the time. I thought it was interesting that he was cagey in talking about or not talking about any changes to coaching staffs. But he definitely said, he goes, look, everybody gets evaluated from me on down. Everybody will be evaluated, and there will be changes. You know, and so that's right. So that's encouraging. You know, he's not going to stick his head in the sand and say, oh, well, you know, use an excuse of this or an excuse of that. There will be changes. And guys, trust me, I mean, we're back in the thick of it next year. I really believe that.
All right, so that's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and for telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. It's going to be an interesting off-season of shows. Don't forget, we're going to carry on with weekly shows throughout the remainder of the season and probably on through the off-season, as long as there's something to talk about. Check us out on Facebook at Dome Patrol Podcast. We're also on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast, so if you don't listen to us on iTunes, Android, or Google Play, there's the old-fashioned way of listening to our show, DomePatrolPodcast.com. Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, 2014 football season, you piece of shit.
Good night, Who Dat Nation.
Do-do-do-do-do-do. When I sing, watching me. When I sing, go watching me. Lord, I being there now, when the saints go marching in. And when the sun refuses to shine, when the sun refuses to shine, Lord, how I want to be in that number,
when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, how I long to be there on that morning. When the saints go marching.
When the trumpet sounds its call, when the trumpet sounds its call, oh, how I want to be in that number. When the trumpet sounds its call, when the saints go marching in, when the saints go marching in, Lord, how I want to be in that number. Oh, when the saints go marching in.
Now some say this world of trouble is the only world we'll ever see. But I'm waiting for that morning when the new world is revealed.
Oh, when the new world is revealed. Oh, when the new world is revealed. Lord, how I want to be there on that morning when the new world is revealed.
Oh, when I
sing,
when I
sing,
when I'm marching in.
When the
saints go marching in, Lord, I want to be in that number. When the saints go marching in, Lord, I want,
Lord, how I want
to be in that number.
Be in that number
when the saints go marching.